My father was reported missing around 13 years ago by my sister. I was overseas at the time, and we hadn't heard from him as we normally had done once a year around birthdays and Christmas or Christmas time. And over the following 10 years, the police did an absolutely thorough investigation into his disappearance. At one point, it was suspected there was foul play, and later, a good 12 years or so after the initial report of him going missing, his murderer was sentenced to life imprisonment, although they actually never did find his body. I guess because my parents had separated when I was quite a bit younger, the relationship I had with my father was a fairly distant one, but it doesn't lessen the blow or the shock when you realise that someone so close has, been through probably an horrific death. The support we had from the police was just phenomenal. They were incredibly, incredibly good, and they actually took it, took the case and took as as part of their own, as opposed to us paying for all of the costs and everything. And even now, there are still loose ends that need to be tied up with his estate and things, and they're forever helpful and incredibly supportive to us. I guess it would be good to have a sense of closure, as in being able to find his body and give him a proper burial, because even to this day, I often think that sometimes I might bump into him walking down the street, and you just want to know. There isn't that nagging sense of grief that you hear of a lot of people who've suffered the loss of the violent loss of a close family member, because he wasn't around all the time, we'd grown up really by the time that we'd found out that he had gone missing, presumed dead, and there. I guess for my family, it would be nice to know that it's all finished, but knowing that his murderer is only serving a life sentence, which is only a handful of years, and probably she's already... it's one of those things where the murderer probably has already served maybe a quarter of that, and it would be good to have closure.
I'm not really comfortable talking about that sort of thing.
As a mother of a murdered child, it's hard to take each day as it comes. Two people killed my son, and only one is serving time. The other one walked free. The police, I just cannot understand the coldness that I experienced on the night that they came and told me. They also told me that I had no rights because my son had been murdered. The legal and justice side of things, after finding out and going to the courts over and over and over, on the final day of the sentencing, was not even notified. Am I the mother of a murdered child? I know I am now, because I'm the one that's left to suffer. And suffer I am. There's not a day goes by that I don't think of my son, think of times that we've shared, and who really out there cares. Murder is murder, and no one should walk away from that.
My name is Reg, and I'm Kylie's granddad, and my thoughts on Kylie are never really far away. as part of my life revolved around her growing up, as it did with Christopher. I saw a videotape at Marion's on Sunday of 10 years ago in Tasmania, which brought my grief for her loss back to me. However much older I shall get, I will miss her. She had a lovely temperament, even though there was a little bit of rebel in her. But what young woman in her late teens doesn't? I just can't say goodbye. Your granddad.
I used to think I was the lucky one with three happy, healthy children, and until the day I was told my eldest son was dead. He was found dead in his bed 36 hours after I believe he died. The disbelief is overwhelming. The grief and sadness is like having your heart ripped out. To lose my son has changed my life and the lives of my family forever. There are days of anger, days of tears, and always a sense of loss that's indescribable. My son was happy-go-lucky. He only saw the good in everyone. He loved life and never seemed to worry about anything. His death was thought to be suicide, but forensic tests proved that it wasn't. An autopsy showed he was in perfect health. No marks were found on his body. The inquest brought out various inconsistencies from witnesses. The coroner declared his death unascertained and his file remains open. One day, I hope his death will be proven for what it was. I keep looking for ways to solve his death. Without an answer, we can't move on. I believe he was murdered, possibly poisoned. All I have left of my son is a box of memories. His house, car, and all his possessions were claimed by his ex-fiancée, who sold what she could and banned us from ever going to his house again. These photos I go through time and again in reliving my memories. Give me solace.
My name does not matter. I am a bereaved parent, and for all those parents who have lost a child, know that many things do not matter anymore. My son was murdered. His burnt and charred body was found in his burnt car. He was missing for 6 weeks before he was found. He was 25 years old, my only son. No one has been charged with his murder, which really hurts. Someone has taken his life and is still walking the streets. Our name stops here. No child will be born bearing his name. I miss my son very much. I think of him every day. Some days I just make it through the day. The murder of my son has been left open. Maybe one day some evidence will surface and someone will be charged, but I won't hold my breath. Please don't say I should be over it by now. I never will be. My life has completely changed. I am retired now, and to fill in my time, I decided to learn Reiki so that I could help others who are in pain and suffering from grief. Through Reiki and meditation, I have discovered that there is an afterlife. My son has often been in touch with me. It's like mental telepathy. And I have felt him touch my face. Once you have this belief, you are assigned spirit guides. I have four spirit guides at the moment. One is my doorkeeper or guardian angel. Through the guide's contact with me, I have been assured that my son and all those I love who have gone before me will be waiting for me when it is time for me to leave this spiritual level. This knowledge has kept me going after the loss of my son. I don't expect to recover completely from his loss, but I know I must live my life to the best of my ability, and I will one day return home to the creator of the universe.
This is an extract of a sentencing judgment in the US regarding the rape, robbery, and kidnap of a 12-year-old girl. I like to read it now and then. When you slithered out of your hole that day and spewed your venom all over this defenceless girl, you made this court's list of the lowest scum this country has to offer. In a way, the best sentence this court could give would be no sentence at all, because if you left this courtroom, I don't think you would be alive 10 minutes. You are nothing but a weed among wheat. And when we have a weed, it's my job to eradicate it, because if I don't, you will choke the weed. Therefore, I'm going to take you off the streets for as long as I can. The judge then read off long sentence after long sentence for each crime committed against the girl. You won't be eligible for parole until you are 92, the judge pronounced. That leaves only one more count, aggravated robbery. You stole this little girl's bra as a souvenir, probably to boast about it to your friends. Well, I'm going to give you a souvenir of our justice, and that is a maximum sentence of 10 to 25 on the aggravated robbery for the stealing of that bra. And I hope that in your last 25 years in prison, you remember that souvenir. Get this scum out of here. I like that closing line. Get that scum out of here.
This is my victim's impact statement, handed to the judge to show how my daughter's murder has affected my family. My name is Marion, mother of Kylie. How do I put down on paper how Kylie's death has affected me and my son, Christopher? I cannot describe the pain, the anguish that we feel at the death of our Kylie. We cannot understand why, and the guilt that I, Kylie's mother, feel. I have let my daughter down. For me, Kylie's mother, even 2 years after her death, I still feel many of the things I felt immediately after Kylie's death. Lack of concentration, lack of interest in almost everything I do. Anxiety attacks and difficulty in remembering what has been said to me. Often needing to take down notes. Even in my workplace, I find it difficult to assume the role of a leader, the role of responsibility, only able to work part-time a few hours a week. In my home life, things are different too. Difficult to get up, to do the chores just of everyday living, to want to do anything. What was the point? Having to breathe sometimes is just enough for one day. Going to the supermarket, getting the shopping, normal everyday things, all become too hard, too scary. Sometimes just finding the car was scary in the car park. The thought of so many people around me would scare me. My motivation to do things, non-existent. No interest in anything. If there was, it was because it had to be done or someone made me do it. Constant tiredness. Sleeping was difficult, as was eating. I felt guilty of every little thing. I was still living. My daughter was not. 5 years later, things have changed. Now I'm older and divorced. I managed to hold down a full-time job and life has got better. Miss Kylie just as much as in the beginning. I picked myself up and got on with life. It was do or die. If I died, the bastard would have got me too.